Thank you. Hey, good morning, everyone. Sunday morning. My name is John Mesko, and I'm filling in for Pastor Rob today. He had a rough week at work. He has to work as well as run a church and do all the other stuff. So we are coming live from my home down in Avon-by-the-Sea, New Jersey. And I'm here with some family and friends, and hey, I want to wish everybody Happy Valentine's Day. Okay, it is Valentine's Day, and Roman over there in Russia, you may not understand that all, but we do have Valentine's Day here in America, okay? It's every February 14th. So we went out for a nice dinner last night. It was fun. And here we are this morning. So, you know, I wanted to bring something to you. I've been thinking about this for a while. I wanted to bring a message on inner peace. Now, I sent this out to, I have a pretty good database where I work, and I sent it out to about 5,000 people, but every week people only, maybe 700 people open it. So I did send it out to quite a few people, because out of the 700 people that opened this email, how many of them you think, or out of the 5,000, how many of them do you think would like to experience inner peace? I think a whole lot. So if you want to experience inner peace, just listen up, and I'm going to give you some tips and some clues on how to experience that. You know what? I have to go back to the start of my, I'm sorry. I wasn't set up. I'm going to go back to my start of my message. And I am on Facebook. I never use Facebook, but Robin Walter helped talk me through it. So we're on Facebook, and we have a Zoom meeting going on. So, okay, so inner peace. I said the first steps and beyond. What do I mean by that? Well, there are first steps to inner peace. And then I'm going to explain to you how you go beyond those first steps. So, incidentally, you can meet with us every Sunday morning at 10:30, gracechristianchurch.org. Get on our Facebook community and so on and so forth. We stream different times during the week. And if any of you want to get on any of that, just let me know. Let us know, and we can help you with that. So I believe this message has relevance for every area of life, okay, life in general. You know, isn't it inner peace is what most people are really striving for? You know, when I think about these people like movie stars and celebrities and things like that, that seem, in our eyes, to have everything in the world. They have everything that they ever want. And then we hear about somebody committing suicide, taking their own life and things like that. That's very distressing. And what are they really seeking? They have everything else. They have the riches of the world. They have, you know, beautiful homes and things like that. But what are they really striving for? Inner peace. And that's why I wanted to bring this to you. I think everyone has to recognize that ultimately that's what people strive for. Okay. And, you know, right now we're living in a very unique time in history. This has never happened before. What's happening now? This COVID thing, okay? People are locked in their houses, they're quarantined, they can't go out. We gotta wear masks every place we go. I mean, it can be stressful. So I wanna show you how you can really begin to live a stress-free life. How's that? Okay, so people are asking right now, like, when are things gonna return to normal, right? What does our future hold? When is this gonna stop? Where is society moving towards? What's going to happen? There are a lot of uncertainties right now, and it's very unsettling. So the question is, can you really, in this time and age, experience true peace, inner peace? So I'll be giving you some of the answers to achieving this inner peace, some tips, things like that. Okay, so before I get started with the message, I want to just give you a little bit of a background on the message that we're going to talk about and the passages we're going to look at today. So Before I do that, I'd like to explain a little bit about the author of the book of Philippians. So it's pretty much agreed upon that Paul is the apostle, is the author of the book of Philippians. One of the main themes in the book is rejoicing, joy, being glad, these types of things. Can we experience that in today's society? Real joy? Okay. So the really amazing fact that I always think about when I think of Paul the Apostle, he's writing the book from a jail cell. And I can tell you right now, those jail cells, I guess modern day jail cells are like country clubs compared to the jail cells that that Paul may have been in during those the first century. Many scholars believe that Paul was in a Roman jail at this time. So Paul, if anyone can emphasize joy and peace and gladness, Paul's the guy that could do it, okay, if he's in a Roman jail under those circumstances. So I want to take a look at the passage, and then we'll speak about the passage that I'd like to share with you today. This is one of my favorite passages through the scriptures, actually, and because it's a happy passage, but it's not happy. It's a joyous passage, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading 4 through 9, okay? Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So that's a step towards experiencing peace, I should say. Okay, that's a step towards experiencing peace. Is he tells us and admonishes us to be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let me open up in prayer and then we can start. Okay, Lord God, I just thank you for this time together. Thank you for allowing me to share with all those folks out there. And Lord, I just pray that you go before me, that your spirit has free reign here, that we hear you speak and not me. I just pray that you give me the words, the thoughts and the words to speak so that others might be admonished, they might be encouraged, they might be lifted up by what we do here today. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so this, I would consider, I guess, 6 out of all these verses, verse 6 and 7 are the two verses that I really want to focus on. And Paul exhorts us not to be anxious for anything. Now, when people talk to me about anxiety, and I've thought about this a lot, anxiety, I'm going to explain to you where anxiety actually comes from. Anxiety comes from an individual trying to control his life. And you got to know that we are out of control. We can't control our life. As much as we want to try to control it, we're out of control. Okay. So there's a book out written by Chuck Solomon, Dr. Solomon. He just passed away, by the way. I think he's about 96 years old. He has a book out. It's called A Handbook to Happiness. Wouldn't you like A Handbook to Happiness? Okay. And I read that book, I guess, about 15, maybe 18 years ago. It took me a week to read it, and it took me a year to figure it out. Isn't that how things work sometimes? But I finally got it. Rob, our pastor, he wasn't our pastor at the time. Rob was a elder in the church, and I asked him, you know, I was going through some anxious times, and I said, Rob, what the heck is going on here? I'm anxious about everything. It's very unsettling for me. What's going on? And all Rob said was, maybe God's trying to tell you something. I'm like, what? What? What's he trying to tell me? I want to know. Tell me. What's he trying to tell me? And After reading that book, I went down to Tennessee to see Dr. Solomon. He's a counselor. He's opened roughly 100 counseling centers nationwide. They're basically Bible-based counseling centers and Christ-centered counseling centers. And after being down there for 3 or 4 days, it started clicking. I started understanding that I was trying to control my life. And if you are at the center of your life, you're going to be anxious. You're going to mess everything up, okay? It's just the way, that's life. That's the way life happens. As we bring Christ as the center of our life and allow him to take control, then we can experience that peace, okay? So let me explain that a little bit further. By the way, these terms here, Paul talks about, but in everything by prayer. Prayer describes a believer's approach to God, okay? Then he talks about supplication or petition, and that emphasizes requesting something with an answer to a specific need. So we're requesting a something from God. Supplication, that's a petition to God. Thanksgiving is an attitude of the heart, and you know, every time we pray, we should be in the mode of thanksgiving, right? Always giving thanks. And then requests, he said, let your requests be made known to God. These requests speak of a definite and specific thing asked for. Okay? So, he promises us a peace that passes all understanding, all comprehension. Now, if that was the case, wouldn't that be great? If we can really experience this peace that passes all comprehension, that passes all of human understanding, we have that inner peace. It's like, ah, we can rest. No stress. God's in control. Okay, not us. Okay. So the peace of God relates to the inner tranquility of a believer and their close walk to God. That's the way we describe that. Paul doesn't talk about happiness. That's not the term that he uses, being happy. We can be happy from time to time about certain things, but that happiness can come and go like a flicker, okay? And he encouraged us to rejoice in the Lord, though. So there are many circumstances when a Christian cannot be happy, right? There's a lot of circumstances that happiness may not come to a Christian, including Paul in jail. How can you be happy about that? Okay? Just thinking about it and being in a dungeon like that, I'm sure there were a lot of really odd smells in there and other things, okay, like rodents and things like that. How can he be happy? But he was still rejoicing in the Lord and delighting in Christ. And Paul was the perfect example of this, okay? So, you know, like I said, I always wondered how Paul can even mention rejoicing and being glad and having joy under the circumstances that he was in. You know, he was constantly being persecuted and imprisoned. And many times he was taken up for dead, okay? So he had a threat of death on his neck all the time. But he said, rejoice always, okay? Rejoice in the Lord. So how could Paul experience this peace that surpasses all this understanding? Here's the tip. Paul was indwelt with a special power, okay? The power of Christ in him. And every one of us can experience that power within us, okay? 2 Corinthians is another favorite verse of mine. Says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things are made new. We're made new when we're in Christ. So the question is, how? How are we made new? What is this being in Christ all about? You know, I think there are many Christians out there that don't really understand that. And I was one of them, I'm sure, for many years as a Christian, not understanding the power of Christ in me, okay? And I think a lot of Christians experience, or they experience the lack of the power of Christ in them, okay? But there is a first step. I'm gonna explain to you all the first step. the first step to experience inner peace. You know, how, again, how can this happen? How can these uncertain times pass? We ask these questions. How do you deal with anxiety? People wake up with anxiety every morning, you know? And I'm going to tell you, I generally wake up with a peaceful attitude. I joke around all the time, but it's not a joke. With when I'm talking to folks in my business, I do a lot of meetings during the week, and I said I live a stress-free life. Now, I know some people get angry with me because they say, well, you just don't care about things, or you let things go underneath the rug, and you forget about things, and you know, and people look at my life, and I guess if they look at my life and they look to see what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, they'd be stressed out beyond belief, okay? But I have to tell you, I don't experience that stress generally, okay, and anxiety, because I understand the inner peace of God. And I'm not bragging about it or anything. I'm letting you know that anybody can experience this type of peace. It's just a simple act of faith. So that's the answer, faith. John 3:16, everybody that's a Christian knows this verse. And if you're not a Christian, I'm going to read it to you. You may not have ever heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, for God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So that's the key. It's simple faith. It's simple faith in Christ. The provision that God made for us for salvation. That's the first step to inner peace. Receiving what God did for you through Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? Now, a lot of individuals that aren't Christians may look at that word and say, well, you're a Jesus freak or something like that, you know? And this message is for those individuals that may not know Christ, that may not know God, may not be saved, okay? So salvation is, I believe, the most important decision that anyone could ever make in their life, okay? Because salvation is forever. You know, the scripture, I live on the water here, on the river, and I mentioned this from time to time that, you know, we get a fog that comes in at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then by 9 o'clock it's burnt off. So I think in that verse it says our life is but a vapor, it appears for a short time and vanishes away. Okay, it's a flicker, our life, you know. I just turned 64 last February 6th. I'm gonna have to say it. Guess whose birthday? This is a trivia question. Whose other birthdays were on February 6th? There were four other great American birthdays on February 6th. So think about that, and I'll give you the answer later, okay? So now, if you're from the Caribbean, you better know this answer, okay? Anyway, I'll give it to you later if I remember. So Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, okay? That's salvation. Very simple. Okay, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. That's the message of the gospel, is believing by faith. What God did through Christ, Christ died on the cross, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Now, that's good news. Now, the fact that he died and was buried may not sound like good news. But the real good news is the third day he rose. He rose the third day, and that's the good news. Guaranteeing that we as Christians will be risen again. It says that in a moment, okay, the trump will sound, and all those in Christ will be raised up to meet Christ in the air. Okay, that's called the rapture. And we all look forward to that, okay? We know we can rest in the fact that although this life is short, it may be 50, 60, 70, maybe 96 years, like Dr. Solomon, but it's still a short time. It's a flicker. It's nothing. You know, there's another verse that I think it's in Psalms talking about growing old gracefully. You know, we're here but for 80 years, Moses says, 90 years if you're lucky. That's a short time. It's a very short time. Now, you folks out there that are 20, 30 in your teens, maybe somebody out there listening to that may not, you don't look at that. You don't look at, you got your whole life ahead of you. Even 30 and 40 years old. I think once we hit, maybe you can all agree to this, once we hit 50 to 55, we start thinking about our mortality, okay? But it's a short time. It's not a long period of time. So where are you going to spend your next 10,000 years? That's the question. Where are you going to spend your next 10,000 years? This guarantees you 10,000 years of life, continued life, okay? Afterlife. That's what this guarantees you. So the question is that you're asking, I'm sure, because I asked this question early on, can it really be this simple, just believing? Come on. Don't we have to do something? Like, don't we have to help God a little bit? Don't we have to do anything? No, I say no. No, you don't have to do anything, okay? You don't have to you don't have to do anything yourself. It's all done for us, okay? The only thing we have to do is believe. Acknowledge who Christ is and what he did. Acknowledge that and believe by faith. And then things will start to open up. Now, will your life change instantaneously? Well, I have to tell you, it does change instantaneously. Your inner self changes inside, okay? It says that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God once that occurs. Now, we use this term, some people use it loosely, we're born again. That's what it means, that when we're saved, when we believe, we are, our spirit is born anew. That's what that's talking about. Our spirit is born new. One verse that really grabbed my attention and grabs my attention is, it's found in Ephesians. It says that prior to salvation, we're at enmity with God. I like that word, enmity. We're at enmity with God. That means we're at odds with God prior to salvation. We butt heads with God. We don't have his spirit within us. So once salvation occurs, you're born again, whether you like it or not. You're born again, okay? And you're given his spirit. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And then we have a whole new life ahead of us, okay? Now, it's not only for afterlife, this whole thing, just so you know. How can we experience inner peace here today on earth? It's by being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, resting in Christ, understanding that he's sovereign. Ultimately, he's in control. You're not in control. He's in control. So we can release our control to him and allow him to take the wheel. There's a song out like that, right? Okay. Anyway, we can let him take the wheel and control our life. Now, I think a lot of folks are afraid of that. They're afraid of what God might have for them. I know that when I first looked at this, I was 12 years old. I went to Billy Graham Crusade in Shea Stadium, okay? And I kind of got glimpses of this, okay? I heard the gospel. Billy Graham was always there with the gospel, okay? And I kind of said to myself, what's going to happen if I do this? Is he going to send me to some godforsaken place or something, you know? Is he going to send me to some place and to be a missionary or something? I didn't want to do that. I'm only 12. Come on, you know? So I know people think like that. I can tell you this, that God promises you an abundant life, a fulfilled life. That's what he promises us. I don't know what that's all going to look like for everyone individually. I can't tell you, but I can tell you that it's a life of peace. It's a life of no stress, understanding. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to go through difficult times. It just means that he gives us and equips us the ability to go through those stressful times. And that's what this means. This means that he allows us that comfort and the peace that we can understand, or that is beyond understanding, but he allows us that peace, okay? So is it really this simple? Do we have to do something? Absolutely not. No, you don't have to do anything. You just have to acknowledge who God is, what Christ did for you, and believe. Okay? So Philippians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of work, so no one can boast." Okay? The book of Philippians is a favorite book of mine too, but the first chapter of the Galatians, rather, the first, I'm thinking of Galatians now, but so Ephesians, Galatians, and Philippians, okay, those are three great epistles. But in the book of Galatians, Paul said to those Galatians, he said, "Wait a minute, guys, you started in the faith, and now you want to take control, okay? You foolish Galatians," he called them. "What has bewitched you?" You see, it's depending on God, depending on Christ for our salvation, understanding that. And then as we grow as a Christian, we put our faith and continue to put our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross, okay? And God will start to work in your life. I can guarantee you that, okay? He's a God who's near to us. He cares for us. Scripture says that He cares for us. He's not distant. He tells us that we can come boldly before His throne, okay, and petition and give thanksgiving and make our requests and petitions and so on. He tells us to do that. So God is not a distant God. We don't need someone between us and God. In Timothy, Paul speaks of that, and he says that, look, there's only one mediator between God and us, and that's the man Christ Jesus. So he's our mediator. He's consistently petitioning for us. He's our friend, okay? So he's not a distant God. So you can understand that. Now, that passage also talks about guarding our hearts and minds, you know, as he gives us peace. That word guard, I guess it comes from a, you know, the Roman thought of the garrison of guards, you know. And he said, guarding our hearts and minds, putting a garrison up to guard us, okay? And our hearts and our minds are our emotions and our thoughts. So he said, he'll guard our emotions and our thoughts. Another little tip, I had a pastor a few years back, maybe 20, he said, "John, emotions are real, but they're not always valid." So as a Christian, I think you can start to discern what emotions are real and which ones are valid based on the promises of God. Okay? So we all are emotional creatures. But he said he's going to guard our emotions, at least our negative emotions, okay? And our thoughts. He'll help guard our emotions and thoughts and bring them in line with what God has for us. Okay? So here's our conclusion with all this. Now, this is the step beyond. So our first step is what? Becoming a Christian, understanding that Christ died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again. That's the gospel, believing that. Hey, now you're a Christian. Is everything going to change instantaneously? No, you probably won't recognize that, okay? But over time, I promise you, things will start to change, okay? They're going to change for the better, okay? God says he's going to guard your heart and your thoughts and your emotions and your mind. And God will come into your life. All you have to do is ask, okay? Be anxious for nothing but with prayer and supplication. Remember, those are the things. Now you can come boldly before the throne of God. You have someone there that will guard you, okay? That will give you the peace that passes all understanding. That's a phenomenal verse. So going beyond that, once you are a believer, I look at this verse, Galatians 2:20. So this is a summary. I think we can talk an hour on many of these different topics, okay? I'm not gonna, I'm almost done. I'm at my conclusion, but the step beyond is very simple. What happens after you're saved? Well, what actually happened is this. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that should be your testimony. Once believing, you're a Christian, this should be your testimony, that it's no longer me. It's no longer me that's in control. It's no longer me that's running the show here. It's Christ in me, okay? So the center of our life, the center of our wheel is no longer me, me, me. It's Christ in me, okay? I got a guy that I know, a lot of you do know him, but he used to say all the time, hey, it's not about me. And it's true. Not about me. Not about me. Okay? It's about Christ in me, what Christ has for me. And he wants for you to have an abundant life. He wants for you to experience this peace. He wants for you to experience this rest. Isn't that what most people want? That's what I started this message with. Isn't that what most people are searching for ultimately? Peace and rest? Now, people may search for it in many different ways, whether it's power, whether it's money and finances, whether it's your job, whether it's notoriety. People look for peace in all those areas. But Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, according to the scriptures, said, guess what? That's all vanity. Oh, that's vanity. So when you're searching in those areas for some type to attain something or some type of recognition and things like that, those items are, they're not bad, okay, necessarily. But if that's your ultimate goal, that's all vanity. He says it's worthless except for the knowledge of God. So your first step in understanding who God is becoming a Christian, becoming saved, getting saved. And that's why Christ came. So believe by faith and then rest in Christ. That's what we do. And experience the peace that passes all understanding, all comprehension. And that's the message for today. First step and then your step beyond. Just start. Like I tell people all the time in my business, you got to put your feet in the water first. And then you can start the doggy paddle. And then you can start the breaststroke, okay? It is a process, okay? Once you put your faith in Christ, you're a Christian. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you were to be hit by a vehicle and get killed, boom, you're with the Lord, okay? So you can rest in that. But as you live your life, you can grow in your faith and become more and more convinced of this, okay, and experience more and more of this peace. And that's what the Christian life, the abundant life. So stay tuned with us every Sunday morning and learn about living in Christ and begin to experience that abundant life. That's my challenge to you. God promises us that, every one of you that believe, maybe you believe today, you're welcome to email us at the church, and we'd be glad to get in touch with you. You're welcome to try to get a hold of us, and we will be glad to speak to any of you out there that want to experience this abundant life, that want to experience this peace and rest that God promises us. So I want to thank you all for getting on today, and we'll see you next Sunday. We also have this meeting or this sermon will be live streamed, I believe, today at 6 o'clock, and maybe another time during the week, but look for us out there. And I just want to tell everyone, God bless you. Have a great Valentine's Day with your loved ones. And remember, you can experience that peace. Thank you. Is Facebook? I don't know. I thought I was. Oh, and live here. I'm ending it.